You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In a week where the Australian cricket team got a new opener, and so did we, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Obviously, Marn and Smudge and Trav and even Marsh in more recent tours have been pretty impressive at 3, 4, 5 and 6 and Kez at 7. So, first instance isn't probably to disrupt that, but we'll work it out.
So you're here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke and Pat Cummins. And
A wary Pat Cummins.
And a reformed six and out.
Yes, glorious. Reformed. Which meaning of the word reformed are we going with?
Oh, all the meanings. All the meanings. They're completely reformed.
And reformed as well.
Reformed as well, yes. Mm.
So that was our new opener that came from a live performance
by
the cricketing super band.
Yes.
They reformed during the Pakistan series.
Yeah, after every test, I think they put on a performance and lucky people went along and got to listen to them.
That's right. We had other things on, but a lot of our friends went along and therefore we have this sneak recording that we have provided for you.
Yes. I also liked in that audio clip, Marn, Smudge, Trav and Marsh.
And Kez.
It sounds like, costume children's television characters, like the banana splits or something. Marn driving around
the Teletubbies.
A June buggy. Yeah. Some god awful thing. But yeah, I like the idea that Pat's just got to, get all these loose units together and sort them out. And Smudge has said, I'm opening. So that's what's happening. Because that is the latest news, right?
Yes, we do have an opener. And the opener is Steve Smith. And how sad for, Cameron Bancroft.
Cameron Bancroft is the one whose fans seem to be complaining the most. So the big Cameron Bancroft fanboys, the Fancrofts, they're all up in arms.
Yep.
Yes. We're not quite sure why exactly they're so upset, but they are upset. It's something to do with him being from Western Australia and they're being biased because they're letting Western Australian Cameron Green back into the team instead. So
there's a big rivalry, of course, between Western Australia and New South Wales, apparently.
Apparently.
Is Kim Hughes from Western Australia?
Kim Hughes is from Western Australia.
So that's why he did this wonderful quote, which is, I nearly vomited, which is such a great lead into any quote.
Yep.
I nearly vomited.
Yep.
I've got no doubt in my mind that if Cameron Bancroft played for New South Wales, he'd be in the test side.
Yes.
Yeah.
No real explanation as to what difference that might make. But
yeah, I hope that I nearly vomited was just a response to some other question.
Yeah.
some other stimulus.
Almost certainly, yeah. So I do always enjoy the New South Wales bias thing. That's a common trope. I think every other state claims that New South Wales is getting biased treatment from the selectors all the time. And it's completely untrue. I was born in New South Wales, grew up in New South Wales, spent most of my adult life there. Yeah. I was never given a baggy grape. I mean, I was given one for a few years in the early 90s.
Yeah, right.
But that was just to keep Dean Jones out of the side. Apart from that, not a single baggy green in my collection. So there's no bias at all. On cricketing merits.
Not sure you've disproven that, but anyway.
So, yes, there are lots of tedious Cameron Bancroft discourse, and that's probably the worst thing that David Warner's ever done in his career, right?
Yep. I have a question for you, Dan, though. Is this just an example of the comedy rule of threes? Because, as in, we had three people involved in Sandpaper Gate, and Cameron Bancroft, who rubbed the ball, he wanted the opening spot. David Warner, the brains behind the sandpaper, he's retired. And then we have Steve Smith, the Captain Four guy, who ascends to the opening spot.
Yeah.
It's a good trio.
Can we have
a 10-part mini-series on Fox Sports?
Almost certainly. Yeah. There'll be one coming out a little bit later. Yeah, yep, good rule of threes there.
Yeah.
But you know who is in favour of Steve Smith's elevation?
Another New South Wales cricketer.
He's Michael Clarke. Yep. Michael Clarke is all for it. He's very excited by the prospect. He's not vomiting. He's he's all for it. He thinks
he's doing the reverse of vomiting, that thing dogs do.
Yes, Michael Clarke is Michael Pup Clarke is doing what all dogs do. He's eating his own vomit and claiming that Steve Smith will break Brian Lara's test record of 400 now that he's given the opportunity to bat at the top of the order. He's very excited about
There's
it.
There's some good clickbait there, what with all the vomiting and the eating of the vomit. I think that's great. Really sensible declarations there. And so far Smith, ever since he's got the opening spot, I think he's just, scored a duck somewhere? Yeah.
He's opened once since he was named the test opener. And that was in a BBL match, and he was out first ball. So he's tempering our expectations.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the second and third test between Australia and Pakistan, and they've happened.
Yes, they've happened. While we've been away, Christmas holidaying and the like, there have been a couple of tests going on.
Well, they were 1-0 up, and now they're 3-0 up, right? Yep. And the test series is over. But we're going to go through a couple of our highlights.
Yeah, they're very little to do with the actual matches themselves.
Of course. So our favourite highlight, or the one at the top of the list at least, is the third umpire, Richard Illingworth, in the Melbourne test at the MCG, got stuck in a lift.
Yes, this was on the day we were there. We remember seeing them come out. This was just after lunch, I think, and the players were all just milling about, and then we could see them all laughing, and it was unclear exactly what was happening. Yep. But word soon spread via social media that Richard Illingworth had got trapped in an elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he said, "I've checked the ground level. It's a legitimate entry point. Just rock and roll the elevator. Yes, clear gap between first and second floor. Can I have the third floor when ready?" And then there was a bit of delay before the third floor was ready for him, but he eventually got there.
Well, another delay, this time initiated by Steve Smith, and he delayed a test by, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes because he spotted a tiny little piece of plastic.
It was like a piece of tape that was... Yeah, smaller than a 50-cent coin.
It was one of those bits of plastic that came off the straw on someone's Prima box fruit drink. It was tiny and probably transparent, but he could see it. He could see it. It was on the side screen. It had floated onto the side screen where it was causing all sorts of difficulties for his eyes.
Yes, and he refused to face up until some poor bastard had to climb up onto the side screen, scramble up and pick it up and scurry off with it.
Yeah.
And only then did Steve Smith deign to face up to the bowling. And then pretty much almost immediately hit it straight to a fielder that was positioned deliberately in a catching position about 10 metres away from him. So he could spot this piece of plastic 100 metres away. Can't spot a fielder a dozen metres away that's been set up there to catch him. So very foolish.
I think it also means that Steve Smith must be long-sighted, right? Without his glasses on, maybe anything within 50 metres is a bit blurry.
Yeah, very possibly. That would explain, that would explain some of his batting average in recent years.
Yeah, maybe.
We also had Dave Warner lose his baggy green cap. This was news, headline news for like days before the third test, this one. So went on the news, newspaper interviews, offered
rewards,
a reward. Yeah, my baggy green's gone missing. Some bastard stolen it. It's in my backpack, a reward if you bring it back. No questions asked, all kinds of. I think Albo got on the case, Prime Minister Albanese.
He borrowed someone's baggy green, I think, for day one or day two.
Yeah, so all very excited. Chappelle Corby piped up on social media because David Warner said, "Oh, I don't know what the baggage handlers at Qantas are doing." And Chappelle Corby piped up and said, "Oh, I got a story to tell you about baggage handlers." So she's still sticking to that story.
Wow.
But David Warner is not sticking to his story about the baggage handlers because it turned out this was just the equivalent of him wandering around the house with spectacles on his head saying, "Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses?"
Was the baggy green on his head?
No, not quite, but it was just in his bag in the corner of the room and they just had forgotten to check that bag.
Oh,
apparently.
Yes, right, yeah.
So, yeah, very, very normal turn of events there from David Warner in his final test.
Well, some abnormal turn of events in Sydney. There was no rain.
No.
What's going on?
Just a teeny bit, but...
And they had bad light, though.
They went up for bad light first and then after a while the bad light turned into bad rain. But, yeah, the bad light was also... a little bit odd because they didn't have functioning light meters. They had broken light meters. So the umpires had to go. They were quoted as going off based on gut feel.
Right.
So I'm not sure whether their guts have eyes in them or, you know, photosynthetic receptors or something. I'm not sure how the gut tells you how light it is. But
incredible.
That's what they did.
I mean, they're discovering all sorts of things about your gut now that it's connected to your brain.
Well,
so
I guess there's bacteria in there. That's kind of... They're bacteria function
by light. This feels like a science fiction story that we could create.
So the light apparently gurgled the umpires' stomachs and they said, no, this light isn't good enough. We're going off for bad light or bad light meters. They're going
going off for a bad light meter is a good reason too. So we also know that the glorious Pat Cummins got a 10-wicket haul in the second test. So you have 5 wickets symmetrically in each innings.
Yes. The most efficient way to get a 10-wicket haul, because then you get 2 5-wicket hauls as well. Otherwise, you only get 1 5-wicket haul in the stats if you
do
6 and 4 or something like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Pat didn't fall into that trap, got the full 10 wickets, and he became only the second Australian captain, man or woman, to take a 10-wicket haul. And do you know who the other captain was who has a 10-wicket haul up their sleeve?
No, because it's probably in 1946.
No, more recent than that. It was probably in your cricket-watching era.
Oh.
It was Alan Border who took 11 for 80-something against the West Indies.
Was it really
AB? Yeah, rolling his arm over with his filthy left arm spin.
There's something about that, because there's one thing about an actual fast bowler taking a 10-wicket haul. There's quite another thing about, I don't usually bowl, but fuck it, I have to do it all myself.
Yep.
And I'm going to take an 11-wicket haul.
Against the West Indies as well, at peak West Indies. This was at the SCG in the old days when the SCG just took spin after about day 3. He just rocked up there and said, I'm just going to bowl my little dinky things, and West Indies just keep hitting it to fielders until they were all out.
Yeah, I do have a vague memory of that.
Yeah, so he still got better figures than Pat, so Pat's still got some work to do if he wants to overtake AB on the captaincy wicket-taking front.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So we've still got more highlights here. Mm. So one of the other highlights, Fox Cricket, decided they were going to use artificial intelligence. Mm. I don't know that they used ChatGPT, but they used something.
I wish it was ChatGPT.
They replayed some Snicko footage and used an AI replay on this controversial kind of piece of footage.
Yeah, I think they tried to regenerate the missing frame. So, you know, it's shot at whatever frames it is, 24 frames a second. They thought, let's see if we can use AI to get extra frames, 120 frames, and see if we can line it up even better as to whether Pat Cummins edged this ball or not.
And if it was, with this AI, I hope this AI was saying something like, please remember that this is an approximation and may not be real true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit dreadful. The AI replay also showed that Pat Cummins had like 7 fingers on his hand at one point.
Great.
And I think there was a giraffe fielding at second slip. So I think that was the only time they showed it during the test. Yeah. They sent that back to the factory to get some more data.
Get some more beta testing done of that one. We also had a photo of the whiteboard in the Australian dressing room.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And this was a photo of all the spinners. It was a list of the best spinning all-rounders in history.
Yes, that's right. I remember this going out. There was a very strange whiteboard from memory.
Yeah, it had some people on it that were perhaps not spinners. But anyway, do you want to guess who was on it?
Okay, let me see.
See if you can remember.
It would have had to have Sobers. Garfield Sobers.
Yeah, Sobers is on. There.
Mancad.
Yeah, spinning all-rounders.
Spinning all-rounders, yeah. So Mancad.
Nope.
Oh, did it have Mancad on there?
Nope.
Oh, that's strange. Don't show any respect to Mancad. I remember it had some ridiculous ones, but I think it also had Jadeja.
Jadeja, was there. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, legitimate spinning all-rounder. So Ashwin as well, I think.
Yeah.
Ashwin
was there with a question mark.
Right.
So I think that's glorious as well.
I wonder who put this question mark in.
I'm not sure if the question mark was in the same handwriting as the list.
Let's assume it was Nathan Lyon putting that in part of the competition. I'll stick with India spinners. Was Ravi Shastri in there? He's a great India spinning all-rounder.
No.
Oh, okay.
No Shastri.
All right. I think Vittori was in there because Vittori's the current coach. But that's it. I'm out.
Vittori's there. Shakib Al-Hassan is there. And we also had Travis Head.
That was in Travis's own handwriting, right?
Yeah.
Was that the same handwriting as the question mark?
Why would they have been even doing this exercise?
I don't know. Maybe Pat Cummins has a cryptic crossword and they've worked out the clue was spinning all-rounder.
A spinning all-rounder.
And they're all just brainstorming trying to get it.
Yeah. Well, that would explain. It's only 4 letters. Let's put Richie Benno's in there and Samit Patel.
Oh, there you go.
So there you
Fantastic.
Go.
Oh, well, that's... That's something worth doing.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so this episode is sponsored by my newsletter, which you can find over at newsletter.leebcricket.com. So just prior to the end of the year, I did a wrap-up of my most popular and or favourite posts of the year, and this included things like, is Ben Foulkes too handsome for Test cricket?
Yes.
apparently. Star Wars planets ranked by suitability for hosting Test cricket.
Important. The next sequel.
Yep. And Ocean's 11, which is where I put the Ocean's 11 characters in batting order. So lots of silly things like that, and they're all out from behind the paywall, all those articles. So you can get those. And I've since started, of course, on my 2024 nonsense.
Yeah, there's already two or three nonsense pieces there already.
Yep. So, and of course, in addition to those random pieces, I also do match reports, a report card after every Australian match, and not always the T20s, but all the ODIs and tests. And I'm going to do the England Tour of India as well. So if you want those in your inbox, just sign up over at leapcricket.newsletter.com. There's a paid option there. You don't have to pay. You get lots of stuff for free. So, yeah. Sign up now.
But you should pay, because you get this podcast free.
Yeah, that is true. If you want to pay, you're more than welcome to pay. Yeah. But if you can't afford it or don't want to pay, then you can also get lots of stuff for free as well. So newsletter.leebcricket.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer?
All right, it is time for the quiz. And I'm going to be the quiz master this time.
We haven't done a quiz for a while.
Well, not counting the one just before the ad in which you, in which you quizzed me on the whiteboard thing. But
two quizzes in one podcast.
Yeah, bonus. All right, so this one's a Big Bash-based quiz. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen an awful lot of the Big Bash.
Yeah, I'm already nervous.
we've tuned in every now and then. We've turned on the TV and watched the odd game. We went to one game. So I will tell you some things that happened in the Big Bash, or maybe they didn't happen. I'm just going to tell you events that may or may not have happened in the Big Bash, and you just have to tell me whether they happened or not.
Oh, excellent.
So there's 10 of them altogether. So let's start with number one. Oh, by the way, Hobart Hurricanes, for some reason, appear a lot in this list.
Okay.
Hobart Hurricanes questions are worth double.
Excellent.
So I'm not quite sure how many points it's going to be out of, but we'll work that out.
Mm.
All right. So the first thing that may or may not have happened, Harris Ralph of the Melbourne Stars, he came out to bat with no gloves, no pad and no helmet. Did that happen or not?
Never. That never happened.
That did happen.
No.
That did happen. They lost a lot of quick wickets and there was one ball to go and he was at the non-striker's end, so he just scurried out there with his bat. So, yes, that happened. So
that's happened to me too.
That's how you got your handle,
that's
right?
That's where I get my cricket bat cat name from, because someone had to yell it out to me. One of the openers who was out, cricket bat cat. Oh, yeah, the number 11 sometimes needs a bat.
Yes, not often.
No.
Yeah. All right, so 0 out of 1 so far. That wasn't a Hurricanes-based question. This one is, though, so this was worth double points. Sixers star Tom Curran was suspended for 4 Big Bash games for intimidating an umpire ahead of a match against the Hurricanes. Did that happen or not?
Yes, I saw that one, and he was running into practice bowl right through the umpire and nearly doing an ankle to avoid him, which is consequences enough. But anyway. Yeah.
Yes, yes, that is correct. And it is a good way to distinguish between the two Currans now. So we've got Sam Curran, the little one who scurries around in England's team, and then you've got Tom Curran, the one who runs at umpires for no clear reason.
Yep.
That's a good way to remember them. So that's 2 points out of a possible three.
Cool.
Double points for that one. David Warner left his brother's wedding to take a helicopter to the Thunder's match against the Sixers, landing in the middle of the pitch. Did that happen?
Yes, that happened. I mean, I didn't have a bet on it, but it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. That happened.
Excellent.
Very strange behaviour there from David Warner, but that's what happened. But, you know, we have seen his brother. I'm not sure if it's the same brother who's on Twitter, the one who was going on about scapegoats.
It was your scapegoat one. I think he's only got one brother.
There you go. So perhaps David Warner decided to be an scapegoat from the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, so that gives you 3 out of 4 possible points. We've got another Hobart Hurricanes one.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nickyl Chowdhury of the Hurricanes. He became the first wicket of 0 runs off 0 balls off a stumping in the history of the Big Bash. Did that happen?
Huh. Okay, I'm going to say that did
happen. That did happen. That is correct. He was facing up and the ball was a wide.
And he was stumped off a wide.
He was stumped off a wide, the very first ball he faced. And there was also a bit of a chat on commentary about that one. This is Alex Carey was asked about the stumping and whether he's happy with it. Here's what he said.
Yeah, always happy to get a stumping, mate. You know that. However it comes, up to the stumps or back. So, it was good, mate.
There you go, Alex Carey, pleased with all the stumpings he makes. So good work, Alex Carey.
Fantastic.
And that's another couple of points for you. I think that must be, I don't know, 5 out of 6
now.
Yeah,
no, I'm 4 now. I'm 4 out
I think
of
you're
4.
5 out of 6. I think you've only dropped
one.
Oh,
you got 2 points for that.
Yeah, 2 points
right.
for that was
I'm
a hurricane.
5 out of 4 gone. Now. Woo-hoo.
All right. Next question. In his 300th match for the Renegades, Aaron Finch hit a 6 to win the game.
Huh.
Did that happen or not?
I mean, I think it's very unlikely. I don't know, but I'm going to guess... Didn't he get a duck? Or was that his last match, not his last
This is the 300 match we're talking about for the Renegades.
I'm going to say no.
No, you're completely correct. That didn't happen. I don't think Aaron Finch is anywhere near 300 games for the Renegades. You know who is near 300 games for their team, though?
No.
It's Elise Perry was the first Australian female cricketer to reach 300 international matches.
She hit a six to win the game. Yeah,
yes.
Now that's far more likely.
It is much more likely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So but you did get that one correct. I've lost track of the score. You've only dropped 1 point so far. So
I'm 6 out of 5 now.
Six out of five. Good work. Next one. At Marvel, this is double points.
Mm.
At Marvel Stadium, a Hurricanes player got dropped off at the car park entrance and had to ask one of the security staff which way to the dressing room.
Yes, well, I was an eyewitness for this one. I wasn't an eyewitness to the inevitable Renegades loss in that match, though.
No.
Because we're experienced Renegades fans, we zipped out of the car park
with 2 overs to go or something.
That's right.
Saw the writing
on
the
wall. I'm not sure if that same Hurricanes player zipped out of the match early, but he probably could have.
Probably did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sure I got that right. So that means I'm 8 out of 6 now.
8 out of 6. Excellent.
Yep.
Next one, this is just a single point. In a match against the Scorchers, the Thunder lost their last 6 wickets in 11 balls for 0 runs, collapsing from 4 for 153 to 153 all out. Did that happen to the Thunder against the Scorchers?
I mean, it sounds pretty likely that it would have happened to the Thunder. So even though this sounds a bit like an anecdote from a T20 length test match between India and South Africa, I'll say yes, it also happened to the Thunder.
No, it didn't happen to the Thunder. But it did happen to India, as you mentioned, in the test against South Africa. And amazingly, India won that test despite losing 6 wickets for none.
I'm 8 out of 7 then.
8 out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Next match. This is against the Hurricanes, so double points on this one.
Ooh.
Glenn Maxwell won a match against the Hurricanes by reverse sweeping a delivery into the knee of backward point where it ricocheted to a very fine third, enabling him to scramble through for 3 runs while he was almost overtaken by his batting partner.
Ooh.
Did that happen or not?
I believe Maxwell did that, but I think there's too many details in this question. So I think one of those details is probably inaccurate. So I'm going to say no.
No, you're incorrect. Every single thing.
Every detail is correct.
He ricocheted off a fielder, ran free, was almost overtaken. Very exciting. Classic Maxwell ball behaviour.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we did meet Glenn Maxwell in between episodes. So well, lots of good things happening in the world.
8 out of 8 I am now.
8 out of 8. Ooh. Closing in on a potentially 100% game despite getting 3 questions wrong. Did the Renegades open the batting with Quinton de Kock and Jordan Cox specifically to give people the opportunity to make a few dick jokes?
Yes, that definitely happened, and I did make a dick joke.
Excellent. Correct. And the very last one. Last question. So you're 9 out of 9. Mm. One question, possible chance for 11 out of 10 here, because this last one is also a Hurricanes question. Were the Hurricanes penalised 5 runs for deliberately doing a short run while running a 2 so that they could get their better batter back on strike? So the better batter hit it, ran, you know, not quite the full length of the pitch and turned around short, but did it deliberately and was therefore penalised 5 runs. Did that happen to the Hobart Hurricanes?
I mean, I think most of the answers of most of these 10 questions have been yes. So I'm going to say yes. And isn't that a great thing that happened?
It is a very great thing that happened. And you are correct. So that is 11 out of 10 for you.
Woohoo.
Dan from the editing room here. Technically, that one took place in 2021, which was a point I was going to tell Kat at the time, but I forgot. And if you think we're re-recording this entire episode just so I can get that one joke in, you're crazy. Do you want to have a chance to make it 12 out of 10? Because
yeah,
I have a bonus question here.
Okay.
How many runs did Aaron Finch score in his last BBL match?
I'm going to say 14.
No. Poor old Aaron Finch, much like Don Bradman, who needed just four runs in his last match to average 100. Aaron Finch needed, I think it was 6,389 in his last BBL match to average 100. Both of them, sadly, scored ducks.
Well, he's got a lot in common, hasn't he?
They are very, very similar players, so yes. So, yeah, so you didn't quite get that last question, but you're still 11 out of 10. The bonus question doesn't count.
I'm still smarter than a fifth grader.
Very much smarter. And congratulations to the Hurricanes, I think. They're going to finish fifth on the table, but by far the funniest team. If we ever get sick of supporting the Renegades, I'm switching straight over to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
Yes, the Scott Moeller Award.
Yes.
And that soundtrack for that that segment is not provided by Six and Out, sadly.
It is sadly. Not, sadly. Maybe
anyway,
we can get them to re-record it at their next gig.
Yeah. Anyway, we're looking for the underappreciated acts in cricket, and we've already gone through all of them in the previous two segments. So, therefore, there is only one nominee, and we're going to nominate Six and Out for reuniting and performing that song live.
Yep, that's the Moeller there. Any other candidates? Nowhere near it. Congratulations to Six and Out.
Yes.
That's probably their first Moeller Award, and they definitely deserve it.
Exactly.
So congratulations. And that's where we'll wrap it up, I think. So you've been listening to me. I'm Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket, L-I-E-B Cricket, on various social media.
And I'm Kat Jones at CricketBatCat. And my social media platform of choice at the moment is Blue Sky.
Come
and join us.
If you need a invite code, just ask us. We've got thousands. We're
overrunning
with
them. Isn't it open already?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Not quite yet.
Oh, God, they're taking forever.
Yeah, they are. You can also follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. Like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. That's newsletter.leabcricket.com. And we will speak to you all next week.
Podcast Network.